I just want to meet him just once.
You can meet him.
Shake his hand, smile. There's nothing I like better than that.
I just wonder.
Because I could care.
I'm not the same way. I want to meet him.
It's on
and it's on and it's recording. No matter who it is, my answer is always meet them, go up to them, shake their hand, have a conversation. There's really few problems that aren't
like
solved.
On November 30th, me and Wade need to order.
Can you use your microphone?
Excited.
You are?
There we go. Much better. Amendment number 54 out of order. Let's say you should.
Thank you. I'll use my microphone. So, as we know from the session earlier this month, we are being forced through changes with the court system to move the DA's office to a second, really a third location, which is going to require the district attorney's staff to be split. There are a couple of, I think, very reasonable staffing adjustments that they need to make in order to accommodate that change. One is adding a legal aide, and one is making a part-time investigator position into a full-time position. That is the bulk of the amendment. It would allow them to cover what they need to cover with the addition of a new location that has to be accessible to the public, as well as maintaining the former location that is also going to continue to be accessible to the public.
That's a good point. Last night in caucus, it was almost like it was going to be one of the reasons to go full-time with this position was like it was going to be continue to do the part-time investigating, but then going to physically be there as kind of security. Is that true, or did I misunderstand? I'm just looking for clarity.
Yeah, so the investigators are the ones that are doing the investigations that interface with folks that might have issues with the office. So they're really the ones that would need to deal with folks from the public that might come and have an issue. So making sure that there's always one of them present in the new space is actually pretty important. I would also like to recognize that the district attorney and their staff are here tonight, and I've spoken to them. They'd be very happy to answer questions. So if we can recognize them, I'd be happy to hear from them.
Thanks. Would it not be perhaps better to have two part-time investigators rather than a full-time investigator and to ensure that all times are covered? I mean, to me, that would make sense. It would allow for more availability. Just a thought, since this is coming up last minute.
If district attorney would like to.
I'd be happy to answer that question. So if we have a full-time investigator, the bank will be staffed from 9 to 5 with assistant district attorneys and support staff, and hopefully a legal aide,
depending on your decision. And so to have one person dedicated to that space would be more beneficial, and to divide it between two people, they would work from 9 to 5, which would help us greatly.
Just to follow up, there's no business that happens, outside of the 9 to 5?
There is business that happens out of the 9 to 5, but I actually am unclear how we're going to access the new Citizens Bank and if it would be safe to enter into the Citizens Bank after hours in the dark anyway. But business does occur outside of 9 to 5. Normally, we don't meet with a suspect outside of the 9 to 5 hours. And we usually don't meet with victims out of the 9 to 5 hours at our location because the security guards are gone by the time they close at 4:45. So we wouldn't meet with someone in the current DA's office right now, really outside of 4:45 either. Unless we had a member of law enforcement with us.
So, in the new space, I know that this is all in its infancy. Are we going to have magnetometers or any security guards there other than these investigators? I mean, these are things that I feel like, might lessen the burden of this issue as well as make you all feel safer.
I'm really glad you asked that because I'm a little unclear as to what the security is going to be in a building that I'm myself going to be moving to. We have one way in and we have two ways out. The second way would be an emergency door. If we have somebody who comes into the now bank, I'm going to refer to it as, they're not going through any magnetometer, they're not being searched, there's no protection for us. I don't know if that's going to be addressed. I would hope that it would be, but the space that's in there, I'm just not sure if it will. So this is a way that we can, because I know this is very temporary, this is a way that we can ensure that we feel safe when we're interacting with the public who sometimes doesn't want to be interacting with us.
I mean, that's one of my concerns with a full-time position in here, is the potential for this being a part-time solution, a short-term solution. When you're adding full-time staff, it's always, it's easy to add them, hard to take them away. I almost feel like I would be more in favor of putting the equivalent of this amendment into a line for security and safety for the DA's office, and then working with the DA and the sheriff and others to find a way to make you the safest you can be. Because, with all due respect, having an investigator there is great. Having somebody who's armed in the premises is great, except that without the proper safety features, magnetometers, security guards, sign in, sign out, things of that nature, it provides the potential for a solution to a problem that arises, but not eliminating the problem to begin with.
So it's actually a step further than just the security for the district attorney's office, because there's other functions that go along with that. Our investigators are trained in de-escalation, and if something comes up and something happens during the course of us meeting with a witness, or if we're doing a proffer in this space, meeting with a suspect, having somebody who is there with us as an investigator adds a different layer than if they're just a security guard. And we were really thoughtful in what we were asking for, in the sense that, I think that it's more like financially conscious to have somebody who could serve a dual purpose, who could be a part of the investigations if we needed a witness interviewed who is there on premises, but could also provide us that layer of safety and protection that we feel like we need. So I thought it was actually more thoughtful to be asking for one of our part-time investigators to commit to being full-time so that they could serve both purposes. Moving forward, it would be great to continue that on, but for now, we're concerned about, in 2 weeks, we're moving to a new space, and we need to work with what we have right now. And we don't have another part-time investigator. We need to work with what we have right now.
So I'm just concerned along the lines of what Ken is saying there, where we're combining two positions that don't really meld together. For one, I remember torn probation. I'm under the impression that isn't there like a 1,000-square-foot office for appeal evidence or something that the investigator oversees? Besides his office in the DA's office, he's over probation a lot. This is a person that takes care of all the vehicles, the confidential unit, contractor fraud, confidential billing, right? That's not the part-time investigator?
No. This is a part-time investigator who just works on regular casework.
They're never over probation?
No. Not this investigator.
And this individual is going full-time, permanently? How many part-time investigators do you have
permanently?
Two.
Two.
So we're keeping the one part-time and we're making the other part-time full?
In this proposed,
No, in general. We have two, so we're going to have a part-time investigator and a full-time investigator now?
I thought that you had eliminated a full-time investigator position and a part-time investigator position. That's what I was under the understanding of what was going to happen for next year.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
So that leaves us one part-time investigator that we're asking to have that part-time investigator full-time.
Can I address that, Chair?
What? Can you address it? I'll defer to...
The proposed budget that we got before amendments eliminates an investigator position. This and there's a part-time investigator position that isn't eliminated. This would move that to full-time, and I believe that's the confusion, because what the amendment is in front of us doesn't address the fact that
we're eliminating the person that I'm talking about, apparently, that is over probation. So who's going to be doing what the person we eliminated done? You're saying the full-time investigator, but how are they going to be security and also taking care of evidence after trial, appeal, storage, recordings, old time records, and like I said, over at the probation office, taking care of appeal evidence storage. How does that all meld? It just seems to me we keep the investigators, and we give you a, we set you up like DSS is set up or something over there to keep everybody safe. So because if you're gonna eliminate the position that I thought was being made full time, but you're eliminating it, what you're telling me is that the full time position is now going to absorb all those duties, correct?
Who's going to be absorbing all of the duties of the part time investigator?
The part time investigator.
It's not going to be the part time investigator that we're asking now to go full time to help us to be moved over to the bank location. That part time investigator that we're asking to be made full time is a general investigator.
But who's going to do the work of the part time investigator? Because you're now going to have a full time investigator, but you're eliminating a part time investigator that does all these things. Who's going to do all those things if not this new full time investigator?
A different part time investigator.
You're
not eliminating all of our investigators.
So
you're going to leave us with two part-time investigators. Correct?
We have no one who guards the probation part.
No, guarding.
No.
But you have, don't you keep evidence over there?
We have an evidence locker over there. We don't guard the probation.
How big is the locker?
It's a storage area.
Yeah, it's a room.
Yeah, because we have an investigator who keeps track of our evidence.
So they're over there.
You know, once in a blue moon, right? This is mostly old evidence. New evidence is maintained within the courthouse.
The part-time investigator you're leaving, they're going to absorb all the duties of the part-time investigator that you're eliminating?
Deputy Kelly, can you please try to clarify this?
Thank you. I just confirmed with the budget team, there has been no elimination. We moved an investigator to a chief investigator. There's no elimination of any investigator in the budget. This amendment
eliminates it part-time and puts it at full-time.
Cool. That's it. There's no elimination. You're moving one position from part-time to full-time. That's it. And that's the investigator move here. With regards to the security on the building, we're working through the space, so at minimum, it's going to be fob entry in and out. If there needs to be a discussion around magnetometers, and that's what we can functionally put in the space, then that's what we should do. So we're still learning the space, learning the layout with the DA's office. So if that's part of the security build out that we need to do, that's fine. But I do think that to the DA's point, having a multi-purpose employee that can do multiple functions and is trained in the way that they're familiar with in dealing with their clients, I think that makes a lot of sense. So we do support this.
So just for clarity, last year we had how many full-time and part-time investigators? What is the difference between our investigators
so
last year to this year? It's all I'm wondering.
It sounds like to me, and that's what I want to clarify with Deputy Kelly is saying, the comment was made that we're eliminating a full-time position. We're not.
No.
You're taking that full-time position and it was retitled
as
lead. Okay.
Yes.
So that FTE person is still there just with a different title on it.
Yes.
You're now, all we're doing with all of this is just increasing from a part-time to a full-time. So we're adding. We're not deleting anything. We are adding. That old position at the old title doesn't exist anymore, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then,
if we pass this.
No, that's how it is in the proposed budget.
In the budget,
anyway.
Right.
What I'm asking is, the functionality of the DA's office last year had how many investigators, full and part-time, and how many are we going to have now? Can that be answered?
There are six part-time investigators right now.
Okay.
Where are they in the budget?
And now we'll have five and one full-time.
Part-time.
I'm assuming there will be five part-timers, and then one added full-time. Let me just see how many full-time
part-time.
Can I just get a point of clarity? So I'm looking at the DA's position budget. Are they called something other than DA investigator? There are not. It's not showing. I'm not seeing six.
You won't see the part-timers that are
because they're just in part-time pay.
They're just in a budget.
Just in part-time pay.
Correct.
And then the full-time, it does look like there was an elimination of one DA investigator full-time position.
Yeah.
One was promoted.
To a chief. And then one was moved to another division.
Okay. All right.
Did you answer your question, Legislator?
So, and the individual looks like the same number, so this individual is just being made full-time.
Correct. All right, so it's wrong.
Yeah, thanks. I I'm not saying I'm against this position. I talked to the district attorney on the way in, saying that I wasn't necessarily against this position, but the dual role and the concerns about safety are what concern me, because if there's a concern about safety, then we need to address safety. If this person is in a meeting, how many offices are in this, are going to be in this office space? Eight? So if this individual is in a meeting on his one role, his or her one role, and a threat comes into the office, he's not going to be operating under the other role, which is going to be ensuring the safety of the members of the DA's office in this office. So I don't think that this solves the problem. It may aid in the operations of the DA's office, which I'm not disputing.
Right.
But if safety is the paramount concern here, then I think that we need to have a broader conversation about how to make sure that the individuals who are working in this office are kept safe from either targets of investigations or, other threats that may arise.
I would absolutely agree with you. And so, I think this is a good step towards that, but we
yeah. I can respectfully agree and disagree at the same time about this being a good step because of the dual role. If the goal is that this person is there for staff safety, then they're not going to be a dual purpose role and involved in other meetings and whatnot, because then they're not ensuring the safety of the office while they're in another meeting.
But they can do those other functions at times, as you pointed out before. You said you're not 9 to 5. And the staff of the DA's office, we work much more than 9 to 5. We're paid for 9 to 5, and we have to be in our space at 9 to 5. But this investigator at 7 o'clock at night when they get a call out, they could go and they can serve that other function while during 9 to 5 they can be in the bank space. So they very well could serve that function, and they could serve, it to me makes sense for that reason. So we have that service out.
With all due respect, though, you yourself had just said that you don't expect to have, these individuals coming into the office after hours.
Not in the office. I'm talking about this investigator going
outside. I understand, but you also said that this investigator would be taking meetings and whatnot, so it wouldn't necessarily just be the after hours meetings that they would be in, per se, because you're going to have targets and victims coming in during office hours.
The other issue is that this is really evolving for us. We haven't been in that space. We haven't lived in that space. We don't know. And so that investigator would initially start out with that.
I just want to make sure that he was going to allow me to continue to ask afterwards.
I'm very unfamiliar with this topic.
It's
okay. Thank you for enlightening me. But it's important for us to be able to evolve with this space in a way that feels comfortable to us. And this would enable us to do that, so we have that safety measure in place. And so that's what I wanted to say.
The newness of the situation is also why I was suggesting that we put some money aside to ensure that as you move into the office, which you've not yet, correct? As you move into the office and you see some of the unanticipated problems or unanticipated solutions to the problems, that we have the ability to rise to them. Rather than, I've always felt that knee-jerk reactions are the worst reactions. And, we're here making a decision on hiring full-time staff before you're even in the office. So I would rather put money aside and then figure out what the best option is for the office once you're moved in there and we have a full picture of everything.
Having rather a time investigator there all the time is what is in the best interest of our move there. That is in the best interest of the county employees that you have relocating and working in a new location without proper security.
All right, before we move forward, because I did forget to do this kind of motion.
I'll move for discussion.
Okay.
I mean, can I just can I just respond to that real quick? With all due respect, I understand where you're coming from. I don't know, as a policymaker, as an appropriator, I don't know that that's the best solution. That is the most obvious solution right now, but I don't know if that's the best solution.
I invite you to come look at the space.
I'd love to.
See what it is that the space looks like and where we're at.
Yes. I mean,
that would help with your decision.
If the investigator's going to be sitting at the front desk,
right by the front door, that's where we're envisioning him being.
Unless he's in a meeting.
But if I could repeat again what I said before, that investigation won't happen during the hours that there are ADAs in that building. That would be his primary responsibility during that time. If there's a homicide and all our investigators get called out and have to do interviews at 2 o'clock in the morning, that investigator is going out and doing that interview. A security guard is not going out to do an interview at 2 o'clock in the morning on a homicide case. And so that's where the dual purpose comes in.
All right, Liz, there, Nolan?
Yes, thank you. I feel like saying asked and answered. Asked and answered. I mean, this is a proposal that the DA's office. I'm sorry.
Thank
I did
you.
Turn it on, but I just wasn't sitting close to it. The DA's office has been put in a very precarious position, fragile. And I thought that this legislature stepped forward and said we would do whatever it took to help make this happen. The people who know their office the best, who know their people the best, who know what they have right now, which they need in 2 weeks, are asking for one part-time person to go to a full-time person and are getting grilled on it. I just don't understand that. I think we should do what was asked, and we should continue in the new year to see if that's enough and if they need more. But they're saying this much they need. So let's do this. I mean, it's so small. Thank you.
I guess you're right. Legislator Nolan has decided that everything is all set.
Chair Rock.
Chair Rock.
Thank you.
That would be disrespectful to me. If we're going to spend this whole night like this, Chairman Cabarrus, then.
So, I want to first say thank you for the creative solution and what you describe as the dual purpose as being the best solution for right now. I think I don't feel qualified to tell you what you need in that office. And I feel comfortable that you're qualified enough to say. I also feel comfortable enough to suggest and expect that you're going to come back to us at the moment you realize it's not enough or not working. And I also would say to my colleagues, in that case, that doesn't mean we have to keep this person at part-time. At full-time. That might mean that at that point, this person goes back to part-time and we have to come up with another security answer. And I know and I expect that you won't wait to do that. You won't wait to come to us. So I'm going to be supporting this as it's proposed because it's what you're asking for, it's what you're saying you need, and again I appreciate the endeavor to try to make it to believe that the dual purpose is a creative solution to a problem that you're now facing.
Thank you.
So I just can't get away from, we're going to sit an investigator at a desk where you walk in, which is going to kind of take away from the ability to do a lot of investigating. They're possibly 9 to 5, so that's 40 hours a week. If we weren't moving, it sounds like you wouldn't be asking for this. I keep hearing security. Why don't we just take care of the security? We're definitely not going to enhance this individual's ability to do investigating if they're essentially a security guard from 9 to 5. I don't understand why this became the solution, making an investigator some kind of security. I know you can say, you can talk about de-escalation, but we're talking about somebody sitting at a desk as you walk in to keep people safe. We do that at a lot of different buildings. Why would we reinvent the wheel on this? Why would we take an investigator away from investigating? Because there's a lot of investigating that these investigators do that does not have them sitting at a desk. And then on top of it, every time something happens after hours, we're going to be running overtime or comp OT for this individual that's supposed to be there and that needs to be there every day. Now we got them out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Why not just take care of the security the way we take care of security at all these types of buildings that we run? I mean, when I walk into family court, when I walk into DSF, I mean, you see security. Why wouldn't we do it the same way? Especially, we're changing a position, and I haven't heard how it's going to enhance. We're going to take a part-time investigator, make it a full-time investigator, and all I can envision is less investigating being done because of the security aspect of the position. So, and this facility is not necessarily going to be permanent. So we're changing up the workings of this investigator, making this person full-time, just to possibly pull it back if we go somewhere else. I just feel like, let's take care of the security. Right, Ken? I mean, I don't understand.
Apparently, we're grilling too much.
So, Tom Blake, to me, here's the scope. Mike?
Could I just say one thing? I just want to answer that, because
maybe I'm being misunderstood. That investigator isn't just going to sit at a desk and not work. We have a lot of investigative things that can be done while someone's in the office. We have discovery obligations we need to comply. We have investigators reviewing body cam. This particular investigator is working on a homicide case with me where we're reviewing all of the body cam. We're applying for a protective order, and he's able to do that at a desk.
Can I just respond to that real quick?
No, I'm not.
So I just want to let you know that that person wouldn't be just sitting at a desk. We would be utilizing. We can't afford not to have every single person in our office working. We aren't fully staffed to begin with. We don't have enough staff to function to begin with. So we would definitely not have this person not working. But I just wanted to say that.
But for real security, they need to be present in the front. So now we have confidential evidence being looked over right where people walk in. This just doesn't sound correct.
All right, so the way I understand this, and this is what it sounds like to me, so it sounds like, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it sounds like what you tried to do was you needed security, you're trying to take a part-time person who can do two different things, at the same time. They can act as an investigator, do their investigation work, while also being physically present as security to show a presence there.
Yes.
I think what you're hearing, and I don't overhear hearing it from everybody, is that we would rather spend money in hiring full-time security, and you just keep your part-time person the way they are. Am I misunderstanding that?
From me, yes.
I'm sorry, I'm misunderstanding it?
From me, absolutely. Because
Mr. Chairman, I have not said once that I don't support this position. What I'm saying is I have concerns about the DA's office's concerns about security and how this is going to solve the problem. I don't think that this alone solves the problem. I'm not saying that this position shouldn't happen. What I'm saying is that we have a larger problem to deal with, and if this person is going to operate as both a DA's investigator and a security presence at the office, that those two things are not mutually exclusive. I don't think that the security at the office and having this position are mutually exclusive. So, I take incredible umbrage to the grilling comment, and that's why I apologize for my outburst. But that's why I had my outburst, is because to me it's not a grilling thing. To me, it's concern for our county employees as well as their needs for investigation. And I have concern about this person being both the security presence, as Legislator Maloney just brought up. You know, this person's not going to be able to be reviewing body cam footage and things of that nature if they're going to be out front as a security presence to keep the DA's office personnel safe. And in an 8-office, facility where they're going to have multiple members working during the day, you're not going to be able to be in, third or fourth or fifth office reviewing that body cam footage. And you're certainly not going to be able to be reviewing that body cam footage out in the open. So that's my concern, is I respect where they're coming from trying to cobble together a solution for security and investigation. I'm just not sure it's going to, I just don't see it working. And my concern is not just for the county finances, but also for the safety of the members of the DA's office.
So I didn't misunderstand, that's exactly what I was saying. Is you're saying that if they need more, not just giving us the
person to do a role.
I'm not, but you said a part-time investigator and a security guard. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is make the argument for a full-time investigator, but also we as the county need to determine what the best option is for securing the building.
All right, legislator.
thank you. Yeah, I guess it's just the tone here, and that it seems to me like you're going in circles. But I do hear an argument from the two legislators who are asking questions about security for doing more for the district attorney's office, and I support that. But part of what I heard is if you want to go hire a security guard and bring a new person into the office in the middle of this change, maybe you don't get that person actually in and hired and in place in 2 weeks. This person is already there, knows the place. It's during a time of transition, so bringing in an additional new person, though we may from the outside see it as helpful, may not be that helpful. And I feel like we've got some of the highest trained and very highly professional people in the county telling us what they need. And so I'm just inclined in this circumstance of exigency, especially, to try to accommodate them. If there are things that we say that might generate some other helpful solutions, and I think that's good. If they find they need a magnetometer, then I think we should provide it, you know, if there's space for it. So I guess if there's no opposition to making this position full time, then that's good in my mind.
Yeah, I just want to say I think the proposal from the district attorney's office on this is coming from a place of their best attempt to respect our fiscal oversight in trying to present a solution that helps them do their jobs better but also makes them comfortable to work. We don't know how the space is going to play out. I think everyone agrees with that. I know that the county executive's team is committed to making sure that they're safe, and we're still going to have to do that. So I would just urge us, and I would invite the chair to call the question on this so that we can hopefully move forward with this, which I think is a very reasonable proposal. Perhaps it doesn't go far enough, but that certainly is not a reason not to support them in doing this. And I hope that the district attorney's team, in the passion that they hear from the legislature, hears an immense concern for your employees and for the public and the work that you do. And I really think that while it might not be obvious, there really is a lot of respect here, and I very much respect them, and I know that this proposal comes from a place of respect for the legislature.
I mean, no, legislature, you should tell me the motion to call the question. So
well, I'm not on the committee. So
what?
I'm not on the committee. I was just inviting the chair.
Apologies. I think that this is brought out of being backed into a corner, which we all are by the Office of Corporate Extension.
Yeah.
And as much as I dislike that, I don't think that we don't ask the pertinent questions to make sure that our employees stay safe. And that's where I continue to take umbrage to Legislator Nolan's comments, in that I don't think that the tenor of this questioning is out of disrespect for the DA's office or a disrespect for their solutions. I understand where you're coming from. I've been contacted by members of the district attorney's office who are very concerned about having to move their staff. And the reason that they're moving their staff is because we don't have a choice, unfortunately. This is, it's a situation where we don't have a lot of wiggle room. And my concern is we're here at the last minute. You know, this is the third or fourth meeting of Ways and Means that we've held to discuss budget amendments. This is the first time since I've been a legislator where we've had this many new amendments at the night when we're supposed to be voting on the amendments, which were due 3 weeks ago. Some by legislators, some by, departments who really don't have a choice. And I want to make sure that you folks understand that I mean no disrespect to you or your office or your proposal. I'm trying to make the right choice, not the visible choice or the easy choice or the quick choice, because we have to make a quick choice. And I'm willing to support this position tonight, but I don't think that this makes the DA's office staff in that building safe based on the conversation we've had tonight. And that's my concern, Legislator Nolan. That's my concern, and that's why I'm bringing it up, and that's why I'm asking the tough questions here. Because through you to Legislator Nolan, that's why I'm asking the tough questions, because there's more to do here than just upgrading a position from part-time to full-time. It's keeping the rest of the people who are working in that office part-time or full-time safe. And I'm not convinced that given the dual role of this position, that does that. So it's my sincere hope that all of us put our collective heads together, and that's why I suggested putting money in a fund, or in the department to be able to do that, whether it be, security measures or security personnel. I feel that this questioning is important for our DA staff and not disrespectful to them, as it's been portrayed.
All right, Legislator Maloney, let's keep it brief.
Yep. First of all, I think maybe cross-examination would have been a better term than grilling, right? I kind of felt how Abe felt as well, that actually this was probably the DA's office trying to appease us in a fiscally conservative way, if we're willing to spend a few extra bucks to get, whether it's we talking to Juan and seeing if we can get a deputy in there for a while, or actually going through the process, would the DA's office be willing, if we're willing, and I think we are, to just get somebody in there in more of a security type role, and keeping the, and if you ever come back to us and we want to have a conversation about needing a full-time investigator for 100% of investigating work, I think it'd be a much different conversation. But we can only take what you are asking, what we've heard from the liaison to us over the last couple of weeks, and it seems that this was predominantly about security. So I think I'd be more comfortable if, especially if we're going to have this meeting tomorrow, let's talk to the sheriff, let's have a conversation, and just make this a security position, and make sure we have an investigator that's working completely on investigating.
I think it's important to understand the space that we're being moved into. It's not a very big space. There isn't a main entryway that you walk through like you do in DSS, where you walk through an area where you would be walking through security. You walk into our office, you're going to walk right into our receptionist desk and where the investigator would be sitting. It's a buzz-in system, as I understand that it will be. So it's not really set up, I think, in the traditional way everyone's thinking about how one of the county offices is set up. So having, where the DSS, you have a sheriff's deputy sitting there, I don't see how that would work in this particular space. And you're right, this was our attempt to be respectful and to come up with a quick, creative solution that we think we could make work under the circumstances with the staff that we have and the environment that we're dealing with. And so what would happen is someone's going to buzz into the office, they're going to have to be let in. So we're going to have control over who comes in and comes out. The issue is what arises is if something happens while that individual has been buzzed in and is inside our office. And that's where this having an investigator would help us if they're going to serve that purpose. I know we're saying security. I think everyone's thinking of DSS security, you walk through or courthouse security. I don't think the space will lend itself to that. And this would be the best solution right now for us. Yes, more staff, more investigators would help us greatly. As it is right now with this bank situation, this is what would help us make it work.
Chairman
Kelsey.
So, given that Menard and LeRock said he would support this full-time, but that we really want to be thinking bigger picture about the full security picture of the staff. is it amenable to move this resolution as it is with the commitment that there will be a security evaluation, ideally involving the sheriff in short term, to look at the space, to walk through the space, to get a security evaluation, with the understanding that in a matter of weeks, we may be back here looking for more funds to fund a different security detail.
I mean, I would prefer, you know, I would prefer to keep it out of a, you know, consent block on the meeting night. I'd like to avail myself of the offer from the DA's office to try and come over and tour the space, because some of my concern about the answer that was just given about the purpose of the investigator being in the building, I'm not sure that I agree with. I hate to say it's like, you know, getting turned around on the last thing that was said, but I want to be able to visualize the space for myself, because, you know, I don't see what value there is to the investigator being somewhere in the building unless they're right there at the front, which we all agree they can't be right there at the front if they're doing other functions, which they're going to be doing during 9 to 5 hours from time to time.
That's not what I'm saying. The investigator would be by the door, right?
All
by the
day
door.
Long?
Yes, right. And could work right by the door with a desk and a computer. But this investigator wouldn't. We would always have an investigator there in the office. We would need it. I wouldn't want to be working in the office if I didn't have an investigator in there and they were buzzing people in, and we don't have that level of security there. I feel like I'm being misunderstood.
With all due respect, you know, one of the things that you said early on was that this investigator would be there during the day, but they'd also be able to do investigator functions during the day.
Absolutely.
Including reviewing reviewing body cam footage and reviewing documents and you know, interviewing individuals. How are they going to be able to do that and be at that front desk all day long? That's the part that I don't understand.
That would be their desk. Their desk would just be, but you have to, their desk would be right by the door. They would have a desk by the door, and that's where they would work.
And that's going to be a common area. How are you going to have evidence and body cam footage and things like of that nature in a common area?
On a computer that people couldn't see. You do have to understand where the space is. You walk into the space, and there's this.
I'll stop my questioning, and I'll view the space. It's not making sense to me.
I think the tour needs to happen for those sort of questions, because it doesn't sound like you're going to resolve it tonight. So, all right. Nothing else would like to just call. All those in favor? Opposed?
I'll be opposed, just to keep it in non-consent.
I'm opposed.
But tonight there's
until
only
the,
people?
Yeah. Security thing.
Again, just to keep it non-consent, not because I don't support it, but it's not making sense to me anymore.
It doesn't need an addition. It doesn't need a floor amendment to be considered. Okay, whatever, fine.
That's why tonight doesn't matter as much as everyone thinks it does.
Yeah, it'll be in a different package. It'll be in a
non-consent. That's why this is a 5-hour effort and futility.
One resolution.
Or here anyway.
Only that.
Are there any other resolutions that, or sorry, amendments that anybody wants to take out of order?
Oh,
let's just go in order.
Go in order.
Well, I don't have anybody's here.
Cheers.
That they brought in. All right.
So what was the vote? That vote count?
What is the
two,
vote?
2-2. Thank you.
I will change my vote to a yes so it doesn't fail, but it's not going to be in the consent package. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Perfect.
All right, like the motion block 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 19, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 52, all technical.
Emphatically moved.
Second. All those in favor?
All the technical amendments.
Okay.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. All right.
On block.
Yeah. All right. On blocks. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Post.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. All right. Amendment number one, Huron compensation review recommendation. Your motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
So, this is the, as I've said, everyone has heard me explain this. We have received the recommendation from the Periodic Compensation Review Committee, and I have submitted it so that we can discuss it. I will say that the roles that I am most concerned about are the comptroller, the clerk, and the sheriff. I really think that is a pretty dire need. They haven't had an increase since the since the charter was instituted, and the clerk hasn't even had an increase since before that. So I would say that however the Ways and Means Committee wishes to move forward with it, I ask that you please at least move forward with the clerk, the comptroller, and the sheriff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I plan to support the amendment as is. I will not support it if we do it piecemeal. I think that we either accept the recommendations or we don't accept the recommendations. But the recommendations were made after a diligent review by the Periodic Compensation Review Committee. We either accept them or not. The executive hasn't had a salary increase since the inception of the charter writing. So again, I think we accept them wholesale or we don't accept them wholesale, but that's the way I would support doing it.
I feel like I'm going to take the minority leader Ron position on this one, depending on where it goes. Meaning, not that I'm agreeing with you, meaning that I'm going to, if this shouldn't pass unanimously because we're moving things as a block.
Oh,
because
sorry.
I know that there are going to be
mistaken.
Concerns on the floor about it. So, if it's the will of the rest of the members of this body to move it as is, I'll vote no so it stays in a non-consent package just because there are going to be people who are opposed to it. So it'll complicate our consent package if it's in consent. We're not representative based on caucus last night of the full body.
Yeah. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes, I'll be opposed.
I'll be opposed.
Well,
lower rents, higher quality of housing, helping small landlords.
Do you agree with that?
I'll pop it.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, number three, human rights. Your motion?
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second it for discussion.
I'm not supportive of this. I would be supportive of adding to this mid-year if they exhaust the travel funding that's already in there for mileage, but to my knowledge, they've not done that yet. So I would be hesitant to put money in there for a problem that we've not seen exist yet.
Yeah, I concur, and I don't even think it has to be mid-year for some reason. I think we all agree that if there's a need, we're going to address it. So.
For just to clarify my position, I by mid-year I meant after the first of the year.
And let's make sure every commission or board that gets mileage knows they have the option, because I think that's what happened here. They're asking for mileage. They have $1,500 in there that they've never used. I'm not sure, but my guess was they didn't even know they had the ability or how to do it. I don't know, but that's probably part of the mileage conversation.
And just quick, not to make this meeting longer, but in caucus yesterday, we discussed the idea of not just making sure that commissions that know that have mileage know that they have mileage, but that we create a universal policy across commissions and we look at what exists, which we'll do after the beginning of the year.
We're going to have it on the agenda.
Thank you. I requested the increase from 1,500 to 5,000 for a variety of reasons. During COVID, it was difficult to travel. I learned more from Director Wilson today. The goal is to honor businesses and nonprofits that work with exceptional members of our community and use their elected commissioners, which now all of the seats are filled. Two new positions are being filled in the coming year, and I believe they need the increase. Also training on how to access this funding. because Director Wilson is having trouble using his line items. So I believe the increase is justified. Thank
you. Chair Roberts?
No, I don't. Mileage is nothing. There isn't like a need for a symposium on how to put in mileage. You know, that, again, the comptroller's office can assist Director Wilson in advising the members, or the comptroller's office can advise the members themselves on how to submit mileage. I don't think that we need to put more money in for that. And again, if the money gets utilized, then I think you're getting commitment on both sides of the aisle to replenish it. So.
Yes, I would support increasing now on the request of the committee with their stated purpose to increase their travel from where it has been. And I'd be a little worried that keeping it at 1,500 sends the message that that's where we think it should be. I don't think it's problematic to have $3,500 difference if it didn't get spent. But I think they would more likely spend it and spend it for the purpose they've stated, which is a laudable one, if we actually go ahead and put that line in their budget.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Number four, second day. Got a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Thank you. Number five, Rhino Creek Abortion Alliance. Make a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
I just want to say I respect the goal of this, but I've been, you know, pretty consistent in the past when it was the Walker River Alliance and others. I just don't think that this is what the county budget is for.
Chair Bartels?
Yeah. Minority Leader Ronk and I have been on the same page for as long as we've been working together with this. You know, I want to say I also really respect the intention, but it's just, you know, I think it's more than a slippery slope. You know, there are a lot of worthy organizations, and if each of us brought forward one or two in our districts, the money would balloon very quickly. On top of that, in this case, you know, it's money to help an organization essentially to get on its feet to the next step. You know, I don't agree with this through the budget process. So, but I respect the intent.
All right, all those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, thank you. Number six, Historical Society Mentorship Program. Motion?
I'll move for second for discussion.
Discussion? Chair Bartels.
You know, I would say that this is similar to the previous, but on this one, I certainly would express the hope, since it is a minor financial request, I would express the hope that the organization is able to fundraise that money, and because it sounds like an exciting program.
What she said.
All those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Thank you. Number 14. Controller personnel. Got a motion?
I'm moving for discussion.
Second.
Discussion? This is your chair, Marco.
Okay, just because I'm to benefit the, we talked about it, caucus yesterday, it's a little different than was first submitted by the comptroller, and I just want to bring your attention to the differences to the members that weren't at caucus. This amendment does not, it only supports the changes in salary to the DEAC and the deputy comptroller. It does not support the confidential raise, and it also maintains the deputy comptroller role at 775 hours.
Thanks. I just want to say I support it this way. I might not have the other way. So appreciate the changes.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Centralized arena, get a motion.
Second for discussion.
Mr. Ron?
As previous, and I won't reiterate all my points because otherwise we'll be here all night, I don't support centralized arraignment. I don't support centralized a lot of stuff.
I don't support centralized assessing. I don't support centralized arraignment. It disproportionately affects outlying communities, and this is going to affect the budgets of outlying communities that have police departments that are going to have to transport these people, you know, 45 minutes an hour to Kingston and then return. It's going to keep resources out of service, unless we're going to, you know, have a county, you know, funded, you know, corrections department to ferry these people to and from the greater Kingston area. I can't support it.
I'm supporting this. It was identified by as a priority by the Legislative Criminal Justice Task Force, and that's one of the reasons I'm supporting it. I think it's worthy.
Yeah, and it's not just about judges. It's about lining up probation officers. You know, this is going to be a lot quicker. The only thing that I hear is what Ken's saying, and I get it. You'll still have sheriff's department and state troopers running all over the county as well, but and they can take that. All they do is drop off. I think Chris points out, right, that they can that we'll taxi them back if
right.
they're released. It makes a lot of sense. I haven't talked to a single judge that doesn't like it. The only thing I can say is a couple of these judges that haven't shown up. But I do point out sometimes it's hard to find a public defender, and these people are not being arraigned in a reasonable amount of time. I think you're going to eventually see most counties go to this. And the only thing I will say is if we have any of these judges not show up when they're scheduled to, then we should boot their towns out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe a town can have the option not to sign in. I think every town's going to. So if it's that bad for the town, they can opt out, perhaps. I don't know if that's something to discuss. I don't think it's a mandate. I don't know if we're mandating the towns.
Well, that was going to
yeah.
be my question.
Can we amend it to let a town not do it? What do we care if your town doesn't want to be the only one that doesn't want to do it?
I think it's an all or nothing situation. I'm not sure that you can have a town opt out. If we could have a town opt out, I'd support it and encourage my town to opt out. But I don't think that's an option.
Yes, that was the question I was going to have because I was told. Oh, that was the question I was going to have because I was told by one of my town judges at a town of sororities that if the town judge didn't want to participate in it, he didn't have to. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Now, if this is the case, and you get several judges around the county that doesn't want to participate, is it going to, you know, be effective? I mean, that's what I want to know. If this is passed, do they have to participate or not? Does anybody know that?
We don't, but Legislator Walter will be here soon. So, Deputy Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So this is going to be an OCA-sanctioned program. There's, I think, 23 other counties in the state that have already adopted it, and my understanding in conversations with OCA as well as ILS and some of the justices is that there was early resistance to the program, but then when everybody recognized the efficiencies that came from it, there was a lot of adoption into it, and
yeah.
it has proven to be efficient. I could certainly say from the public defender side, to Legislator Maloney's point, is there's certainly going to be kind of a relief valve for our staff there. We do have stipends for them, but it works out to a very low hourly rate for the people taking those stipends, and in terms of work-life balance and covering this size of a county, we're having less adoption into those areas. So this would certainly help us. I do have a concern in terms of the justices that don't show up. That is a thing. That is a thing countywide. There's a lot of very responsible ones that will basically fill in those pockets, but hopefully this will lend itself. It'll be fixed time periods scheduled. Hopefully that will lend itself to better representation on the justice side, the public defender side, and also efficiencies for the DA.
Thank you.
I didn't, but can you just pull your microphone closer for requests from our listener?
Thanks. You know, centralized in this county means in Kingston, predominantly. You know, in my last 11 months,
you know, as a county legislator, I would just like to continue to remind people that a much better way to perform services to our residents is regionally and not centralized. Because centralized means that Kingston, Saunders, Hurley, Esopus, Rosendale are going to be much better served than Shongum, Gardner, Plattekill, Marlborough, Wolverstone, Ellenville, Rochester. If we do things on a regional basis, there's a reasonable chance that my constituents will receive a comparable service, and our town employees will receive a comparable service. But more and more, under the Ryan administration in particular, seemingly moving forward, it seems that we're going to centralized, and that means Kingston-centric, which means that Ulster County will once again end at 299.
Have any of the other 23 or 24 counties that have done this, do they do it regionally where you can rotate whichever judge is doing it can do it at their hometown facility, or it has to be in one place and we're going to do it in one Kingston?
I don't know. I see Deputy Executive Kelly shaking his head, but the comment that I have to that is that not every county has our geographic diversity and has the county seat so far from the outer lying areas of the county. So.
Thanks. I'm reminded that we already approved centralized arraignment and that this amendment is for taxi money for people who need contractual agreement for taxi transportation services for those who need the transportation, administrative costs and stipend payments for county for court clerks to support the off-hour arraignments.
I'm just here to remind Mr. Bartel that I think I spoke against this when we passed it and was against it at that point. So I'm just reiterating my concerns as we pay for our, what I believe is a poor decision.
I just want to say, as a legislator who represents the furthest westernmost towns of the county, which were not named, that the benefits to the individuals in the district are, what I think justifies this. Yes, there may be some burdens to the sheriff's staff and the law enforcement, but overall, I think that's going to be balance out for them, even. And yes, with more resources, maybe you could have more centers, which is, I guess, how you get regionalized, but you wouldn't have one in my district. So I just think that it makes it better for the judges, it makes it better for the DA's office, it makes it better for the individuals who are brought into this circumstance. So I think that it stands to benefit the rural, remote parts of the county as much as or more than some of the central areas.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Number 16, centralized grant writer. Got a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Carpet House discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Number 17, new hire raises. Got a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll just reiterate my point that, these are COLA, increases, and, the comptroller and others have brought this year and in previous years and previous years to that and previous years to that concerns about compression, and this is how compression happens, because we take these positions as a person and not a position.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely appreciate the intent. I do, I have concerns in that when I look down some of the, we can use the comptroller's office as an example, we have a position that we just raised, that's not my concern, but that's a position that was a challenge to hire at the previous number, the number that we just added to. So I guess I'm saying something similar to Minority Leader Ronk, and just that because this is a wholesale look, I don't feel prepared to cover it, to vote yes en masse. But I think it is a very good discussion.
I'd just like to add that it'd be great to have a salary study, and it would take almost a year. I don't know what we've done in that year. but we haven't done much.
Okay. All those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Four opposed. Thank you. Number 18, Office of the Agency, have a motion?
I'll move it. For discussion.
Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 20, Emergency Management, have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion.
I was drawn back down.
So I've spoken to Minority Leader Ron, a bunch of others, and I also appreciate getting the backup from the executive's office today, the programmatic backup. You know, it seems that we all agree that one, there's a significant problem, and that this isn't going to be the only answer to it. What I want to ask, particularly of Minority Leader Ron, is that if this passes, which I expect it will, that we revisit it and look at the statistics. Like, there's some kind of reporting out of how it's actually working. Because my big concern, and what we talked about today, is, you know, if we're thinking of these fly cars as going into the regions of the county, the four regions, what we're starting with two, you know, I really want to have a sense of, you know, how effective we are at what we're endeavoring to do, how many calls they're answering, particularly calls that they're answering, that they're the sole response or the first response to. And I'm expecting that that's all going to be provided for, but I just want to say it on the record that I hope that we have an open dialogue about how this is working moving forward, both so that we can improve upon it or make changes if necessary.
Thanks. Couldn't possibly agree more. I want to clear one thing up. None of these vehicles are going to be a sole response because, well, I shouldn't say that, unless there's no need for a transport unit, because none of these vehicles are going to have the ability to transport a patient to the hospital. So in a case where this is the only unit responding, it's going to have then been able to clear up a call from what would be a transport unit from either a paid or a volunteer service. You know, and reporting is definitely part of our plan. You know, this is a very, very first step. And, you know, one thing I've heard from some people is that there's a concern that this isn't going to solve the problem. And I could not agree more that this isn't going to solve the problem. The problem is a lot more deep than a $600,000 attempt at improving on a system that's broken. I don't think the county can be the solution to the EMS problem. And, you know, one thing that we talk about in the volunteer service is that you can't solve the problem with paid service. And you can't solve the problem with volunteer service. And the same way that you can't solve the problem with either of those alone, I don't think that you can solve the problem with a county solution. It's got to be a collaborative solution with the towns and the county and the paid services that are out there and the volunteer services that are out there. As a volunteer, I was out last night at 3:00 in the morning. That's why I'm a little tired today and not so fast at the uptake. What's that?
Edgy.
Yeah, a little edgy. I don't want to have a solution that ends the volunteer service because there's a place for it. But it's not at a place where it can operate by itself anymore. And, we used to have the paid services to fall back on, whether it be Mobile Life Support or Empress, now Ambulance, who operates in the southern end of the county sometimes. But that safety net has gone by the wayside too. If you listen to the emergency radios, you know, Mobile Life very often has no units available for 911 calls because they're operating a business. This is a very small, very targeted stopgap that gets us to the point where we have our consultants report and our task force's report, white paper, whatever we're going to come out with, along with the state Department of Health's white paper that's supposed to come out shortly. And
you know, putting all of our collective heads together, we can find better solutions to the problem, because that's, everyone looks for a solution. This isn't a unilateral solution problem. This is going to be multifaceted. It's going to be multi-agency. It's going to be multi-jurisdictional. But we're at the point now where, as a county, especially given our financial position, I feel that we need to do something to try and help. And there's a lot of us in the trenches. Chairman Guevaras is one of them. That need help. And I don't think this is a county problem that requires a county solution, but I think the county can be a help. I've heard several times people say that, you know, this isn't the solution, and I just could not possibly agree more. But we need help. We need to try and put our heads together to find solutions. If this doesn't work and the data doesn't show that this doesn't improve the problem, then I'm willing to move on to the next thing. But I think that this is a good option to move forward and try, and especially in the biggest problem areas in the county, find a solution. So, thanks.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. 21, quality analyst.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Chair Bertha.
So, in caucus, we talked about this position moving into the comptroller's office. We've heard from our clerk of the legislative board that, you know, that probably that's where she thinks it should be too. I'd like to make that proposal that we move it into, that we amend this to put it into the office of the comptroller. We spoke with the comptroller briefly, but I also want to now say on the record that that should we do this and should we pass, like, if the legislature's hope to work with you with on this position in terms of the deliverables of what the legislature really likes to see. And I'd also like to say, just for the record, obviously the comptroller has regularly asked the legislature, what do you want to see, what do you need from our office? So that's not to say that you're not already doing that. I'm just saying that for everyone's comfort, just so it's on the record that we would like to see this position in your office, but we would like to work with you on the work that's coming from this position.
And as a sponsor of this and moving forward, I will say that when I first thought of this, and I did bring it to the comptroller first, she was more than willing to take on this position and, to your point, ask what can we be looking at for you and look at these different things that we're doing. So she's been more than willing to work with this position.
Thanks. I support this position in the legislature. I do not support moving it to the comptroller's office. So if that's the will of the body, I'm opposed.
Chair Martinez.
And just as a one additional thought, that would also mean that should we create this position in the comptroller's office, because it's a position being created by the legislature, that we would have a part, of course, we want your input on writing the job description and definition of what we're specifically looking for in collaboration.
All
right.
All
in
favor?
Aye.
Wait, can we need a second?
Oh, the amendment. Oh, yeah.
Second for the amendment. Last second.
Aye.
As amended.
Yeah. All opposed. It was both the amendment and as amended.
Okay. So, as amended. All
aye.
In favor. Aye. One opposed. Thank you. 22, legislative tech support. Motion.
I'll move it.
Second for discussion.
Discussion. All in favor.
Aye.
Opposed.
Opposed.
Board of Elections personnel adjustments. Have a motion.
I'm sorry, what was the count on the last one?
It's 3-1.
3-1.
I'm happy to be the smiley opposition.
Board of number 23, Board of Elections. A motion.
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor? Opposed?
I'm opposed.
You're opposed?
No.
You're opposed. Okay. Number 24, just confirm he has been withdrawn. 5, Legislative Office Personnel. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second. Discussion.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Number 30, Agricultural Crisis Relief. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? 31 has been withdrawn. 32. Legislative Martinez, are you withdrawing this or no?
32?
Yeah.
No. This is going from
31.
The bus driver increase.
Yeah. So that I must have highlighted it wrong. Okay, so 31.
31 was the legislator Ernest went to that.
I have a motion to move to 31 to withdraw 32. I have a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it for discussion.
Discussion.
I've said in the past, I'm going to continue to say until we have a better solution for the outlying areas of the county, I'm going to be a no on all UCAT related increases.
Yeah, I mean, this raising the bus driver's pay is something that we've discussed thoroughly administratively with the legislature. There's a union representative here if we'd like to hear from her, Tina Bono. But the first thing we really need to do to get more service, I couldn't agree more with my earlier Ron, you need more service in the southern area of the county. But we don't even have all the drivers right now that we have budgeted for, and part of the reason is we don't pay them enough. If we pass this, then we go from grade 8 to a grade 10. It goes from 2048 for a brand new, just got their CDL driver, to over $22.50 an hour, I believe. But that'll raise them up. For example, pass where for a student is now advertising for new drivers at $21 an hour, plus our much better benefits for the county. So it would be my hope that once we get the drivers, then we can focus on the sorely needed route expansions, and certainly restoring the G route, for example, to Marlboro, and restoring a route in my district to Wilbur would be great. That was part of City Bus. That was never part of UCAT. But I totally support and want to work with everyone on expanding transit. I think I've had more conversations with more legislators about this topic so far than anything. I look forward to doing that work.
Thanks. And I've got a great deal of respect for Legislator Erner and representing his constituents, as I am mine. For UCAT in general, service increases is not a field of dreams scenario in my district. It's not necessarily a if you build it, they will come scenario. What we need is different solutions. What I've told people and flabbergasted fellow legislators in the past week, in that before I was a legislator, I'm not sure that I had ever been to Kingston. From the town of Shongham, we would go to Newburgh, we would go to Milltown, we would go to Poughkeepsie, but we would not come to Kingston. And unfortunately, with the federal funds that we use to operate UCAT, we can't run specialty bus services to the places that my constituents and Craig's constituents and Legislator Roberts' constituents and even most of Senator Corcoran's constituents probably, do their business and do their doctor's appointments and do their legal appointments and things of that nature. So I think it's a more complicated scenario than expanding UCAT service. But I have to be here to be a representative of my constituents, and this is a large county expenditure that's not going to benefit in any way, shape, or form my constituents. So I can't be a yes.
I still don't know where Shongham is, to be honest with you. So.
If you drive down Route 32 and then continue on to Route 208 and drive to Orange County, and right before you get there, stop, and you're in
Shongham. But we have an issue. I appreciate your statement. Now I do it all the time because it keeps the conversation alive, and I think we probably need more of that. But I think we got a problem here where it's two different issues. And when Laura and I put this in, it's just we have to pay a rent and plow more. If we're going to have plow operators and carpenters and UCAT drivers, we have to come to the reality, which is why I've been really disappointed at times with our budget process the 3 years I've been here, because we're never trying to find savings. I mean, it's this salary issue that we have with the, you know, 1,200 or 1,300, whatever it is, employees, many of them rank and file, are unions. We have to pay them better. You know, we got to the point where we're losing, and we fixed a little of it. Some of the people at DPW didn't get any raises. They're still, the carpenters are still underpaid. But we were losing people to towns, which had never happened before. Our COs, you know, we're going to have to give them a raise. It's just going to have to happen if we're going to have a jail. So we need to do more cutting and saving and tightening the belt, because these salaries are going to have to go up for our unions consistently. And I think we have to do this. And this puts us, I think Phil did some research, and it puts us just over where some of these private bus companies or school bus companies are. And I think that's where we need to be.
To parrot my good friend, Legislator Maloney, I'm excited to see the results of the salary study.
All those in favor?
I'm opposed.
I just wanted to add one thing to what Legislator Rock was saying. We do have special dispensation to run into Orange County, so working with the other metropolitan planning organizations, we can have those agreements. We also have one running into Poughkeepsie for the link going to Metro North, so it's not out of the question that we can continue to negotiate with the different counties.
Just since we're going to talk about special dispensation, that's special dispensation to go to other FTA-approved modes of transportation, correct?
Currently.
Thank
yes.
you.
All right, all those in favor?
Opposed.
33, I'm sorry, that's the one.
That was pulled.
Okay. 34, EV charging, a motion.
Wait, so 33 withdrawn.
33 withdrawn.
Thank you.
34.
I'll move it.
Second.
Oh, I'll second.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 35, limiting constituent service navigator division.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
I think I just wanted to say our general position on this. I know there's been a lot of discussion over the past several days, and we've had a lot of one-on-one conversations with you all. I think it's clear that we still all believe, or many of us believe, in the need and the goals of the division, and the need to improve constituent services. I think it's a longer conversation that we need to have about how best we can do that. We're committed to working with any of the legislators who have kind of shown ideas on what the best next shape of this can be. But we'll also work with you all to make sure that the program is wound down in a mindful, smooth way, if that's what you all decide to do. I think, again, we're still committed. We're going to give this a lot of thought and see how we can improve our constituent services in general, because we continue to get calls saying that the existing channels just aren't working enough. But I just think that this is a longer process for us to figure out what the next best shape should be.
Yeah. Thank you, and I would concur with that I think this, I mean, unfortunately, it's almost the beginning of a conversation, right? It's not even the middle. Like, a presentation was made to us, and we haven't had a lot of conversation about it, but that doesn't mean we can't learn from what happened, and I think that's the best thing we can kind of commit to each other now, is that there's something to learn from here, and there's something to be gained, certainly, and there's improvements that need to be made, but it seems to me that the evidence is that this isn't working as it was proposed to work. And I also do want to acknowledge the comptroller's work in bringing us the data, which was helpful in elucidating this.
All right, all those in favor again? Opposed? 36 has been withdrawn. 37, VIP bus shelters. Do you have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second for discussion. I need a moment to catch up.
37. I just, you know, I respect where this is coming from, but as I said in the previous one, until we have a more concrete, you know, holistic solution to transportation in the county, I can't be supported.
Yeah, I just want to, I'm trying to, so this is, can I ask again the sponsor, because we had such a late night last night, I realize it's in the Capitol, so is this actually, this is decreasing the design section?
Yeah,
very confusing
yeah.
to me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the original intent, of course, was to increase it so we could provide up to two shelters with signage, et cetera, for each municipality. Only to find out, as discussion went on, that there was a $250,000 design study, which is way high. I have met with the executives team, and you know, what we did is we'll be rolling it out over a 3-year period, so it'll be a $100,000 study, which is much more reasonable. $100,000 put into construction the first year, and then of course year 2 and 3. There'll be more. We need these bus shelters for multiple reasons. I mean, we've been focusing on tourism. We have people come into the area. Obviously, there'll be a bus shelter. It'll have the information there because you can't flag down a cab in Ulster County. Also, for our walkers and working people, they need a safe place, you know, that they can wait for public transportation. And yes, we're going to get it into Shawnee.
For the five people that ride the bus.
All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Number 30, elimination.
I'm opposed to that. Just yeah. I thought I made that clear in the beginning, but.
38, elimination of our administration division. Kind of motion.
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion.
I can't support eliminating the ARP division while the projects are actively in progress, but as soon as the projects have been wrapped up, I would support eliminating the position mid-budget if that happens then.
Yes, I'd have to agree with Ken. I think we should wait until the work is done.
Yeah, and I agree as well, and I think next year I will welcome the conversation about this so that eliminating or downsizing the department as we start to get further along.
Definitely when the ARPA funds are gone, at least hopefully we can get there then.
You would hope. All right, all those in favor?
Oh, here.
Opposed? We're opposed. Thank you. 39, ARPA administration non-union 2.5% adjustment. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
I'll second for discussion.
Discussion. Okay. All those in favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
We're opposed. Thank you. 40 and 40. This one may have.
40 is withdrawn.
40 is withdrawn. Okay. 40 and 41 are both withdrawn.
41. Okay.
Legislative team. 41.
Yes.
Oh, sewer and water. That was withdrawn.
Both were, okay. 43.
What was the other one? 42?
No, 40 and 41.
43 and 44 are the defund 1, defund 2.
No, 40 and 41.
Oh.
It's very confusing.
I thought that we agreed that 40 and 41 were withdrawn, then we were concerned about 42. Sorry. Well, I think 42 was at the beginning, so.
I know what I'm saying.
Understood.
Such a peak. You're good on 40 and 41, correct?
Yes.
Withdrawing, okay. 43, are you withdrawing that or are you keeping
it? I will withdraw that and support budget amendment 45.
45, okay. 44, municipal executive staff defund two positions. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
I'll move for discussion.
Discussion.
I figure why not go for both, but at the very least hopefully get a compromise. I think what has happened post-charter is at times our executive branch of government has become very political. We've seen it. You know, they're going to Albany, they're going to D.C., and along with that comes a promotion aspect to, you know, we see it in Albany quite a bit. And I think there's other counties similar to our size that have some smaller units, and that's why you end up at one point with years ago where we needed a lawyer. Well, we don't need, now the executive doesn't need a lawyer in that position anymore. Why did they need a lawyer at one point? Then it just basically became a chauffeur and a picture taker. You have people in that branch that do the work of the people. That's where we see Chris. That's where we see Mark Ryder. And then you have people following the executive around to press conferences and taking pictures with really expensive cameras that I think sometimes the county may be in part paying for. So I think in between, why don't we bring it down to where some of these other counties are, some of them even bigger than ours. So it makes sense to me, and when you leave too many staff in there, they end up doing things that are not of the people.
Mr. Rock. Thanks. I plan to support the next resolution to reduce the salaries to pre-executive Ryan levels. You know, I take comfort in the fact that the photographer in chief has gone to the congressional office, and that, you know, I have faith. I shouldn't say confidence. I have faith in County Executive Mesker that these positions will be used for a proper county function. You know, and if my faith is in bad faith, then I'd be more than happy to revisit this halfway through the year. But I feel like we owe the new county executive the ability to prove us wrong.
All those in favor? Opposed? Thank you. 45, municipal executive staff, salary adjustment. Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 46, term of advertising. Is there a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second. Discussion?
I don't think a single dollar we spend in tourism results in anyone staying here or visiting the county. A lot of these businesses know how to advertise, and they do. There's a million of these pamphlets and everything out there. There's private groups putting them out. We end up picking winners and losers. We've referred to certain companies as business partners with the county in recent economic development meetings. That makes me uncomfortable, especially when they have 150 other businesses of the same type that are competing with that business, but one business has the support of the county and the others don't. Contracting with a firm from Texas and Oklahoma to come up with a guy for Ulster County Tourism was always odd for me. Those books, I don't know. I've asked and asked and talked to people. I can still not find a single person that has told me, yes, I'm here because of something the county has done. I believe we'll be paying for possible airfare for our tourism director this year to go to Europe, which sounds insane to me. There's a line in the budget that refers to hats. When you see...
We're not really buying the hats again, are we?
I don't know. I've seen it in the past. So,
county team hats from...
But I think we need to be guarding against tourism to a point where... You know, that tourism, the tourism that is naturally happening because of where we are and what we are is forcing people out of their homes. You know, somebody just got back from Ireland the other day and said there was a big billboard. I hope you like Dublin because, and you stay in Airbnb because we don't even have a place to live anymore. It's happening right here. And to not deal with it and understand it, that, I mean, there comes a point where you might actually have too much tourism, but we have a tourism department that's flying people around to Europe, buying, you know, hats and advertising a silly little book with select companies in our county. I know no one else is going to say it, but it's true. So I doubt I'll get a vote here, but it's got to be put up.
Mr. Nolan?
Yeah, the money spent in tourism pay off in terms of increased tax revenue for the county, and one of the largest sources of revenue for the county is the tourism funding. The tourism industry. So I think I was listening to see if there was any single point that I thought was accurate in what was just said, and I don't think there was any. That if somebody claims things without data, then you can refute it without data. So I don't actually need data, but there is data that as we have invested more money in tourism, tourism dollar income has grown in Ulster County, and it's essential. I mean, the money that we're putting towards all these very beneficial projects, which are investments in our community, is a large chunk of it is tourism dollars. I also volunteered at the Catskill Visitor Center for several years and helped to get that started. And people would come in from all over the state and the world saying that they had seen Ulster County's materials and wanted to come to the Catskills. So, my lived experience is just so different than what was just said, and the data that I've seen, I think, is very different than what was just said. So I want to put that on the record, that there is a divergence of opinion here, and invite people to look at my data.
Thanks. Through you, Mr. Chairman, to the six representatives of the County Executive's Office and the Budget Office here, any of you, there's no money in the budget for those Team Ulster County ads, right? I just want to make sure before I vote no on this, because if there's like $10 in here to buy those hats, I'm a yes on it.
We pay for our own hats.
Fair enough, thanks.
Yep, you think it counts.
You never sold those hats last year?
I sign off on all travel for my departments, and tourism is one of those, and there are no trips to Europe, and I wouldn't sign off on it. I know that we've done stuff with Clay Airlines at Stewart, where there's a benefit to foreign travelers coming into Ulster County from Stewart, but no one's going to Europe. The other part is, I do want to say to Legislator Maloney's point on equity, on how the advertising's done, I think that's a fair conversation to have, and if there are specific examples of people being left out, let's have that conversation.
Just to respond, in economic development, the Director of Tourism told us that she was going to Europe for something, and they weren't covering, that one organization wasn't covering her airfare. I may have misunderstood that. I took it as if, I don't know if anyone else was at that meeting, Phil, you listened to their meetings, I took it as if we might be paying. I hope we're not.
No, I won't sign off on it.
Okay.
All right.
Through the chair to the controller, isn't there a breakdown of sales tax revenue based on industry? And do you know off the top of your head what portion of that is tourism? Or is it mostly Walmart and car sales and hotels?
If I can tear it, it's not broken down by tourism, but I will tell you that restaurants and eating establishments are one of the top industry codes. So I don't have that data.
I don't have that data here with me today, but I can tell you that restaurants and eating establishments definitely benefit from the tourism industry and is typically in the top five category.
Chair, the business I own benefits from tourism. I mean, no one said that tourism unto itself. My point was that we are not the Ulster County, the tourism department and economic development department of Ulster County has nothing to do with the tourists that come in my store or any other. That's what I believe. And I'm sure the data, you know what I should have done on this? One of these things I'm going to do is I'm going to say the exact opposite of what I think. And then I'm going to get Kathy to actually be the thing I put up. So.
Alright. All those in favor? Opposed?
I'm opposed.
No more opposed. Thank you. 47, Board of Election Administrative Titles. Motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Discussion? Can we get a second? It's number 48. Sorry, 47. Right.
Technical change?
Okay.
May I just...
Sure.
Yeah, it's just a technical change requested by the...
I'm fine with this one. I know that's odd. Everyone's surprised.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 48, Affordable Housing Fund. Chair, motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Chairman does.
I just, I said this many times in caucus, but for anyone who hasn't heard me and to be on the record at this vote, you're going to see a series of amendments removing things from the capital, these, this does not necessarily mean that I don't believe in these things or that we should be doing these things. I want us to consider a plan before we put something into the capital. You know, talking about this one for a moment, in housing, it may be that what we come up with isn't actually a capital project, isn't going to be in the capital at all. It may be a different solution. So I look forward to working with my colleagues in the legislature and working with the executive office and having these conversations and then bringing a plan forward that may involve amending the capital. So I want to be on record that I'm not opposed to these things. And also, if I can just for a moment have the latitude to talk about the capital in general, I also think in the coming year, I'd like to work with the executive's office and ask the executive's office to take this capital that we're about to approve in whatever form and drill down in the 2023 year, because what's proposed for 2023, just taking 1 year as an example, is not realistic. It's not realistic that we're going to undertake all these projects. So let's have a real conversation about prioritization. And that's going to result in some amendments probably. But again, so just to be clear on why this is here, thank you.
I'm happy to agree with Legislator Bartels. In so far as I struggle to support anything in the budget that's more theoretical than it is actionable, and I think that that's the concern that I have here is that as with some other proposals that we've seen in the budget, this is $30 million in theoretical funding for housing. And there's other theoretical funding in here. I would be much more supportive of, actionable solutions that come forward collaboratively with the executive's office and the legislature.
All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Carried. 49Q Development Program, can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Seconded.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number 15, transition studies. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
I just want to, because it's moving fast, I just want to make sure that on the transportation plan studies, I had originally proposed that we move it into planning, was asked not to do that, just to remove it out of the capital. So that's what's before us, correct? That amendment. Thank you.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
53, Elsa County SPCA, can I have a motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second. Seconded.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I'm going to actually skip over for now 55. 42, overall expenditure reduction. Can I motion?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion?
We're at 55.
42.
We're skipping over 55 from there, 42.
42. This is the 0.97% total budgetary reduction for all departments.
I just need to get there.
No worries.
42.
This is Laura.
42. This is the 0.97%.
Aren't I 51?
You're
51.
Laura's 42.
Laura is 42.
Okay.
Oh, I am.
I'm on this page, but then just walked in.
Yeah. We have a motion for 42. Let's see, Rock made the motion. Seconding for 42.
I'll second for 42 for discussion.
Okay. Discussion. Let's say for
yeah, if I could, we are creating about 55 jobs in this budget. During the COVID pandemic, departments were asked to cut back at 5%, and if we did that, I would be a lot more comfortable with the budget that we're presenting if we would not take any additional funds out of our contingency or our reserves in order to make it whole. I think that is
a false sense of security, and we should be, whatever we collect, we should be, you know, even as far as being able to pay our operating expenses. It's only 0.97%, which I don't believe is unreasonable. And given that we had that audit that said there were unexpended budget lines and they felt that there was some padding, I think that our departments would be able to do this.
Other discussion? Acting executive chairs?
Yep, thank you. I think that this is a fair conversation. We generally support the idea of looking for efficiencies and savings. At this time, I think a blanket 1% cut isn't the preferred way to do it, or in general, I think that's not the preferred way to do it. I've been working with Legislator Guevara's on a more targeted approach. She sent us some questions on specific lines. We've been going back and forth, and hopefully we'll get to a place where we can support what's being proposed, but that's the approach that we would prefer.
Will that be prior to adoption of the budget?
Is that
resolution? That's what's just handed out. Other discussion?
Can I ask if the committee would entertain, can we keep 51, 50, 42, 51, 56, can we keep them open? Can we talk about them all since they're all, you described it yesterday as a blunt approach to a slightly,
I gotta come to your caucus, Marla. That's hilarious.
My point is, maybe we should, if it sounds like even Legislator Petit would like to hear what Executive Contreras is referring to, because maybe there'll be some consensus. But since
we should have a holiday party Halloween party next year where you guys are Lambo and Doogie House.
Right, well, I've got the latitude to discuss the other ones.
Want to just go right in a row with them? Move them out of order?
We'll just keep them.
If you want to move, I guess.
We can just move them, right?
So we'll do 1 and 56 as well.
Yep. If we move them all at once, how are we going to handle votes?
I'll support it.
Why should today matter?
So,
no votes to discuss.
This is something. Yeah. What's that?
No votes to discuss, just the motion. We're good.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good. Let's know.
We can discuss?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can we?
So, every year our budget analyst says, you should look into the past. Our job as fund appropriators, you can even make the argument the head of budget. But every year we should take a look back at budget time into classically over budgeted departments. There's different ways to do it. I think what Laura had in mind was basically to say, look, when we look back over the last couple of years, there's consistent extra money. So here, you tell us where you have savings. That is definitely something that is done quite often in the private sector. What I did through, I'm no CPA, I had our CPA, our budget analysts, go through and look at the last 4 years and identify consistent departments and offices that have leftover expenditures. So we were going to kind of average it out and cut them back, and then we just put it all into one line, and we're going to allow the department head to hold the scalpel and go ahead and figure out where. And if we had done this over the last 4 or 5 years, we have a lot of money that wasn't and didn't end up overflowing at the end of the year into a slush fund that we don't really have a lot of say over what happens with it sometimes. So that was my take. Now, John got more specific line by line and then threw it back to the executive branch to say, tell me why we don't bring this down after we see years of what seems to be possible over budgeting, whether it's an accident, strategic, whatever. So you did only end up at 1.2, which I thought was going to be a little more than that. Might it still?
So let me go to three.
Okay.
Exactly.
That was just the basic background of the three of them.
I just wanted to clarify that we still have a lot of work to do, and going back and forth, there's going to be many changes to the amendment that Legislator Guevara's put forth. We have, I mean, there's some lines in there that affect regular pay and part-time pay. There's lines Okay.
Yeah.
There's other lines we need to work through, so I just wanted to clarify we're still in the process.
Yes, all right. So to that, up with respect to the Ways and Means Committee, because I still don't have all the answers and changes were made up until 10 minutes ago, I would ask that if people are comfortable to have another special meeting at 4:30. I don't think it'll take very long.
What day?
Monday, 4:30.
I got caucus at 5. If we are
4 o'clock.
Confident we can do it in a half hour, I'd be fine at 4:30, if not 4 o'clock.
If everybody can do 4, I'm comfortable with 4 too. I don't think it's going to take a half hour.
We never do, do we?
Yeah, she's gonna have to treat you.
Monday,
the next one, yeah.
Our meeting class was 6, correct?
He's not till 6, but caucus at 5, and we also need time to...
Wait, is our meeting at 6 or 7?
6.
I can't get here until 5.
Is it just to consider this one? It will be just to consider this one?
No, that's why I also skipped over 55, because I still don't have the answers to that as well. Either, and I would hate to push that the next year.
4 o'clock?
I can make 4. I mean, I would say that it's very heartening to hear from the executive's office a willingness to work through this to the extent that we're already looking at potentially substantial cuts. So I think it's worthy of the additional conversation and the time, because we obviously appreciate the work that you're doing to be responsive.
As we point out, we can just not take any action tonight. We can just do that session itself, so we can have the discussion prior, hopefully have answers.
I would also, as I'm looking through this, I know the sheriff would certainly want to be part of the conversation, so I would encourage you guys to send it to his office as well.
I'm sorry, I missed who you said.
Sheriff. There's a lot of lines cut in here from criminal, civil, and jail. So.
With all due respect to doing it at the budget meeting, I would much prefer that we at least have a pre-meeting, you know, before then. Since we've all spent, you know, 700 hours together so far, I don't think that one more is going to hurt.
Right. Other than, let's say Walter, who can be here at 4 o'clock? Let's say Fabiano can be here at 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
can be at 4. Okay.
You can be here.
I'll say 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Number 0. Okay. We'll do 4 o'clock.
And that's on.
Any more discussion on any of the three of the?
We can just take no action.
Take no action.
Okay. On all three.
All right. All right. We'll go to 55. Motion to discuss.
We'll come back again.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just bounced around.
Second.
I'll second.
Well, no, you made the motion again.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All right. Discussion. This is to address the issue that been brought up last year but was never resolved, and I'm bringing up again this year, is the county attorney's office is underpaid and trying to come up with a salary that would increase that makes sense. When I tried to compare the district attorney's office salaries, our own legislative attorneys, and the public defenders, the problem is they all just say assistants, and so there's wildly different amounts for each one. So without getting the explanation as to who's an equivalent person in each of the offices, it's hard to make a number yet. So that's one of the other outstanding information. So this one I'd like to take no action yet tonight, and this will be a discussion for Monday.
I'm okay with that. I just was going to say that I'm supportive of this. I'd like to second it and to mention something I'm sure Legislator Maloney would bring up. You know, I'm really excited for that salary study because this is one of those areas where, you know, I know that we're trying to do our best with limited information, but it'd be nice to do so with more information.
Yeah. And I would say the proposed increase would not be the end.
No.
It would be just a little bit of something now, a stopgap, until that study is done, because I think we're going to continue to lose good people here without having them.
As somebody who's been sued multiple times when I was chair of the legislature, I'm more than happy to support the people who work hard to keep us all out of the clink.
Thank you.
So I just want to confirm, that I'm good. I'm taking no action. I'm glad that you're looking at it. Appreciate it. It'll take some more detail. I just want to confirm, because there are many positions on here, are you looking at all positions in the county attorney's office or just the attorney's position?
Just the attorney, the assistant county attorney's position.
Okay.
The county attorney.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
All right, number 57, motion for first jurisdiction officer. Motion.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Thank you.
Mr. Walter, discussion.
Thank you. I apologize for this being a late submission. This is at the request of the county executive elect. What I'm asking that we do is that we move the position of chief diversity officer from the personnel division into the county executive office. County executive elect has requested that this move be made to raise the position. She feels it's important that the position not be reporting to the head of personnel, but work hand in hand with the executive's office across all units of the county. She envisions it as a significant increase in activity over what's currently happening for that position. I've also proposed a modest increase to that salary, which brings the salary, it's $3,939 or something like that, but it brings the salary just above that of what we just approved. We'll see what happens for the assistant deputy county executives. And given that this is a position that, while it's not a department head, it's envisioned as a higher position, it seemed appropriate to have that slightly higher salary.
Thanks. If the position of chief diversity officer is necessary to county government, which I've disagreed with in the past, I think that the only place that it belongs is the personnel department. The whole purpose of a chief diversity officer is to work, I mean, as it was sold to us, is to, try and get a more diverse workforce to apply for civil service. That's how it was sold to us when we passed it in the first place. So putting it anywhere other than the personnel department politicizes the position. In addition to the fact that, the personnel director is one of the few positions in the county that's got a term rather than serving at the pleasure of, then, I feel like it's a much more reasonable place to have this position. With all due respect to the incoming county executive, she has the ability throughout her staff and with her bully pulpit to make diversifying the county workforce a priority of her administration. She doesn't need this position under the umbrella of the county executive's office to do so.
Yeah, I agree with everything Ken just said, and I was here, and there was discussion of questions. Remember, Dave asked a lot of questions too. We wanted to know, we were for it, and we just wanted to know how we were going to diversify the county. We really didn't get a lot. And what ended up happening upon questioning was they kind of said, well, you know, we're going to go into different communities, and we're going to make sure there's a more diversity. I think it was almost Dave or somebody that gave them that suggestion. Well, were you going to get more diversity in test takers? Yes, yes, yes. That's it. So now I just have questions. Who in the county, if the executive is not here yet and does not know the landscape, somehow the new incoming executive knows that this position isn't doing what it could do. How does she know that? Who told her? Why don't we hear from the person inside the county that's telling her this position's not working, it'll be better if you have it under you? I agree with Ken's points about it should be under personnel. And I haven't heard an explanation on what, so are we now admitting? The only time we ever admit anything is when they're going to get something out of it. So, you know what I mean? If now they're admitting this position maybe has not done much. Has it? Where's the data? Have we diversified the county? It's been a couple of years. But no, don't worry. Trust us again. We will diversify the county, but give it to me, the incoming executive, that hasn't even served a single day here but already knows this. None of this makes any sense. Is it going to be the same person, or is it going to be a new person? If it's going to be a new person, are we firing that person, or are they going to tell us they're resigning? Do we know if they're actually resigning, or they're being told they better resign or be fired? I don't know any of these things. None of it makes a lot of sense to me. At this point, I think it belongs, if we're going to have this position, which I love the sound of the position, because diversity is a wonderful thing. Let's have it in personnel if we're going to have it.
Chair Rittenhouse?
So, let me start by saying...
Yeah, the county executive wanted to say something in response.
Oh, okay.
To
you want to take any response to that first?
Yeah. I mean, this has been something that we've been getting feedback on for a while now, that the position of the chief diversity officer, as it is not best situated to actually meet the goals of the position. I think most commonly in organizations where you have a chief diversity officer, that person reports to the chief executive officer, not the director of personnel. And the reason that it makes sense for that to be the case is because chief diversity officers' only goal is not just to diversify the workforce. There's a lot of culture change that's also envisioned with this role, making sure that just the way that we all interact with each other is inclusive, making sure that people who come into the county building feel comfortable when they come, making sure that anybody who interacts with our county employees also feel that we have an inclusive approach. So it's really not just about recruitment and retention. The other piece that we would like to the chief diversity officer to work on is the impact of our services and actually make sure that we are having an equitable impact and actually having a wide equitable reach with our services. So those are a lot of the broad goals that we have. Again, it's beyond just personnel. And this position will be vacant soon. The current chief diversity officer is pursuing another role that is higher paying, and so that's another reason that we are recommending a small adjustment to the salary, because again, for a large position like this, if you want to attract good candidates, we're going to have to be competitive in our salary.
That's where it goes. I'm just going to respond.
Thank you, Executive, because you actually said so much of what I was going to say, but better. You're working in it, just in that I think it's really limiting to think of this as strictly a hiring function, as a function that that only has to do with diversifying our workforce, full stop. And I don't recall that ever being the selling point of it. You know, I have a lot of positive hope about the future of working with this incoming executive, and through all the changes, I mean, I've been here for every change in executives, and including from to the acting executives, and with the new administration, there are changes in personnel. So the discussion about
this actual, who's filling the position, who's going to fill, and who's going, and how that's going to happen, to me is utterly beside the point. An executive has a pretty broad authority with many positions. And, you know, I put my trust in the incoming executive. This is a very, from my perspective, it's a very small ask. And she feels that it's critical that she have the opportunity to be able to fill this position at the, you know, at the start of the administration. So I hope that we can get the support for it.
Mr. Walter?
Thanks. You know, I'm not going to reiterate things that were said, but I will say that it was probably over a year ago where noticing that every time we get state funding, or maybe it's federal funding too, there's this whole section in it that says that we promise to make sure that hiring of women and people of color are done. Like, that's a caveat for that money. And, you know, I had asked at one point, I don't know, law enforcement, like, are you doing this? Like, how do we know that we're fulfilling this expectation that we are ensuring a diverse workforce? And, you know, I didn't really get any satisfying answers. And so when I heard that the, you know, incoming executive is interested in this position, in addition to the other aspects of it that have all been described, is really having a deep dive of how well are we doing in this kind of thing across all of our departments, and what kinds of efforts do we need to take to really have the diverse staff. And so I think that it's not just responding or getting people to go to training, which I think is all really important, and especially for the sheriff's office, but really looking at how we are doing in terms of this, I think is going to be a really important part of this role.
Commissioner Fabian?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
You're good. Let's see, Ron.
Thanks. I just want to start with, I forget exactly which point. I think it was a point that Legislator Bartels was making that made me remember when last year, the year before, former Deputy County Executive Evelyn Wright so amply schooled me on the, delineation of who works for who in the county government, and I was schooled by her that everybody works for the county executive in the executive departments, which would happen to include personnel. So actually, I think it was something that the acting county executive said that made me think of that. I will say that nothing I've heard from Legislator Bartels or Legislator Walter or the acting county executive make me think that moving this to the county executive's office is going to accomplish anything except for move where the person works and where they're not the way that this county government has operated. It doesn't even necessarily mean that the desk will change, just the line in the budget. There's absolutely nothing that has been discussed here that can't be done with this position where it currently is. If the person in the current position is leaving, there's absolutely nothing that precludes the acting county executive from working within her own administration to hire the person that she wants in that position. And if the difference is the $2,600 that the position increases, I'd be happy to support that inside personnel where it currently sits. If the difference between $77,386 and $80,000 is the selling point, I personally take umbrage to the fact that $77,000 isn't a good salary in Ulster County. But, you know, that having been said, if the extra, $2,600 and change, really attracts that person that the incoming county executive wants, I'm fine with increasing it to $80,000. But to me, it makes absolutely no sense to move this at this point to the executive's office from the personnel office.
Legislative Run?
Yeah, you know, the reality of government all too often is we want to do something. We want the public to know we're doing something. And what ends up happening so often is we end up with titles and things and press conferences and boards and commissions that sound great, but the devil's in the details. And so often it doesn't end up doing what it was meant to do. And I think a lot of times it's because no one is requiring logistical specifics. We tried to do that. I think, Ken, why you're not moved by anything you heard was because you didn't hear anything but generalities. And not one thing, okay, this is how it's going to work. This is an example of what this person's going to do, 9 to 5. Boom, 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 boom. Tell us. Tell us. If you want the money, you want the position, tell us what the person's going to do. And I haven't heard that. I hear all these wonderfully nice sounding phrases. And that's what we kind of heard a couple of years ago. And now there's this quiet admission of, this position could do more. And I think that everything I've seen on every level, this is nothing unique to Ulster County, but executives have become very political. And the last thing I want to do is take a position that has a job to do, I'd still love to hear specifically how they're going to do that job, and put it into a department, an office that just seems to be so inclined to be political. And I think you're more likely to have something that sounds good, that we can go and we can give stuff to the Freeman and Ulster Publishing and Spectrum News, and they'll act like it is doing something. Then you go and talk to the people and really look around, and you're not really doing what you're trying to tell the people you're doing. And that's what happens so often. So I still feel very strongly that this position belongs in personnel, and I really think we're not doing our jobs with, you know, and to say, I'm putting my faith and trust in the incoming, well, that is not what you were elected to do. You are elected to be a professional, respectful skeptic. You're another branch of government. And I just keep hearing things about how much we love Jen. We all love her, but we still got a job to do. We're a separate branch of government, and let's do our job. And that means requiring specifics, logistics. And we have it, and then you get the call center. We have it, and now we get this. And we got to start doing more of that. And stop with the stuff that sounds good. If you can't tell me how you're going to do it, then I'm not voting for it.
Thank you. I would have some questions that I would like more information on it. I looked up the job description. Of course, it is very personnel-based as far as creating opportunities for a more diverse task force, workforce, you know, which I'm seeing at the management level, but I still don't actually see it within our workforce. I also, I'm concerned because I think this is maybe the fourth person. I believe we have hired at least three in this position. Most recently, there was a job ad out in May for the chief diversity officer. And I also don't see it under the personnel department. I don't know if you can hear me. In the personnel department, the county board. So is there going to be a redevelopment of the job description so it fits better into the executive's office? Or those would be my questions, because obviously the job description as it is now is for personnel.
Thanks.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, to the executive's office. This is civil service, isn't it?
I believe this is management confidential.
Okay. I mean, my recollection was that we approved the civil service position. So I don't know if that was reclassified. I'll look back. I'm nearly positive in that you weren't, I don't think, here.
I believe we were told there wasn't an exam yet, but the company would have an exam.
Based on the first person we hired, it was not.
I mean, based on the first person we hired, perhaps not, but I believe based on what we approved in the budget, I believe it was. I'll go back and search my recollections, but it was a while ago, and it was quite a while in between posting for the position and hiring for the position, so it's entirely possible that changed in the meantime. You know, I agree with almost everything that Legislator Maloney said. You know, I still fail to see what changing the budget line does to change what the operations of the position are going to be. If the incoming county executive is going to have a different set of goals and responsibilities for the position, and it is management confidential, and it was from the beginning, then, you know, the acting county executive's, you know, positions on it will, I would assume, no doubt be reflected in the job responsibilities given to that person. I think that politics does have something to do with it when you put something in a office, in a political office. And the executive's office has been, especially over the, tenure of the last executive, a very political office. And, and we've done a lot of things where I've stood up here and sat here and in meetings with my colleagues and talked about how, acting like we're doing something is worse than doing nothing at all. And this looks like a way that we can, right out of the gate, act like we're doing something when we're really doing nothing at all. And again, to me, acting like we're doing something to the public when it's not happening is worse than not doing anything at all. And, I think in leaving this position where it is, it's not doing nothing at all. It's trying to, continue down the road that we've started on with this and perhaps make it better with the incoming county executive. But I feel like the move prior to the executive even taking office is a poor move for this legislature to make.
So, even looking online at our personnel, and I realize it's not the be-all-end-all, but our personnel department's description, it's a fairly narrow focus. Administering civil service and personnel functions, overseeing employee benefits, unemployment insurance, employee relations, labor management, et cetera, et cetera. What's envisioned with this move, as you heard from Acting County Executive Contreras, is a function, and this is as I understand, a function that has implications over countywide, it's a countywide function that would have impacts to all the things that Acting Executive Contreras said, the way that we relate to one another, the way that departments relate to one another, the way that departments relate to the public, the way that this building relates to the public. Those are all good examples that are well outside the scope of personnel. I support the vision of the incoming executive, and I believe we should make the move. And then I believe we always are skeptical and critical, and we'll have conversations about it, but in earnest, the request was made, and again, to me, this is not a political request. It's a request about a change in function for a position that will be under the executive's purview.
Thanks. I was against this position in a way when it first came out, because I was advocating for the same position in the sheriff's office because of his request and request from the criminal justice reform staff or whatever the group is called, recognizing that there were a lot of specific initiatives from the head of that department, being the sheriff, that a chief diversity officer really could help realize. I was told instead, no, we're doing one for the county, they're going in personnel, so as a result, that should just cover those things. And it always bothered me because that design of putting it in someone who's in personnel, who's sort of more responsive to or reactive, related to hiring, but it's not a larger vision of a head of a department like it was when the sheriff had asked for it. So I feel like by keeping it in personnel, we are by default keeping the definition of it in a very limited way, similar to what the chair has said, that within the parameters of that department alone, by bringing it out into the executive's office, it allows it to serve a larger, broader purpose that I just don't think will happen where it is. And I think that's evidence of why it didn't already happen that way, and why I had felt strongly that a diversity officer that had sat, for example, then just under the sheriff's office really would have realized his vision of what needed to happen. And so I just think we're limiting this position by keeping it where it is because it's confined by the parameters of its department.
Thanks. two points to make. The first one relates to what Legislator Walter just said. I think that having it under the personnel department actually makes it broader for the whole county, because if we're putting it under the executive's office, we're excluding the comptroller's office, we're excluding the sheriff's department, which she's specifically bringing up as a need for diversification and her desire to have in the first place. We're taking away from the DA's office, from the clerk's office, and from the legislature, because these are independently elected offices. But all of us are responsive and responsible to the personnel department. So now we're singling out one side of the government. Now it is the biggest side of the government, but we're singling out one side of the government rather than applying it to the entire government. And you know, I just, my second point would be, you know, to Legislator Bartels, I understand, you know, I was one of the few people with the courage to bring up concerns about this in the first place. And now we're almost conceding that it was a failed attempt, you know, and however many hundreds of thousands of dollars were spent on that failed attempt. And now to the fix to it is to take the exact same position and put it under the county executive's office. I don't understand how that fixes the failed attempt in the first place. You know, so now we're going to take this thing that we seem to be conceding was a failed attempt, putting it under just the executive's office, and then excluding all of the other county elected officials. None of it makes any sense to me.
Can I just respond to that? That in all those other departments, when people work for the county, it is not by default excluding anybody by putting in the executive's office.
Can I respond to that? The executive's office has no jurisdiction as a office over the sheriff's department, except in, you know, regards to the budget. So I don't agree with you. All of the departments have to operate under civil service law, have to operate under the county's personnel policies and procedures, which are all administered by the personnel department, which is the purpose of putting it there in the first place if it's going to apply to the entire county. So I very respectfully disagree with your statement.
Thanks. And I appreciate having things I know explained to me, but my point being not necessarily in terms of jurisdiction, but in terms of support and their efforts, I'm sure, as well, to have the diversity that they seek, as opposed to as an oversight body.
I guess the respect wasn't the, you know, returned. It's fine.
Ulster County is the largest, the Ulster County government's the largest employer in the county, I believe, right? So to have one, to have a diversity officer that's focus is to diversify the largest employer in the county makes sense to me. It's also doable if you do it right to go out there and make sure that individuals that have not classically had the same access to the largest employer in the county get access and diversify the county employment makes a lot of sense. And in order to accomplish something, you kind of have to know what you're trying to accomplish. So now we're going to take that, and if it was successful, please show me the number of tests and what we've done to back up the success of that position. And I think Ken is saying that we're kind of being led to believe behind the scenes, there's a little bit of an acknowledgement that it hasn't been what we hoped it would be, and the results haven't been there. So now what we're going to do, in a very generalized term, is we're not going to worry about diversifying the county, which was the original goal of this, to diversify the county workforce, the largest employer in the county. We're now going to kind of diversify the entire county in general. I'm not really going to tell you how we're going to do that, but if we move it into the executive's branch, it's going to open up I just keep hearing all these, the scope of, and it's going to broaden all these general words. I still am not hearing one specific thing. I think why I'm not hearing anything is Jen, I don't think, told anyone how this was going to be different. I think it was a pleasant conversation, and it was filled with generalities, and now we ran with it, and now we're asking for specifics. And what does that mean? If you're not going to be focused on diversifying the county, which is what created this position, the county government, but now we're going to do more than that. What the hell does that even mean? And how are you going to do it? And do we know who the person is? Were we told that?
So, First of all, I want to be clear that, at least for myself, I'm not acknowledging, as Legislator Ronk and now Legislator Maloney have said, that there's a failure that exists in the current position.
I'm not
acknowledging it, period. I don't know that. That's not the conversation that I had. The conversation that I had with the incoming executive had to do with a change in direction. That's what the conversation is. The incoming executive did not say to me that there's a failure in the current. Nobody said that there's a failure. The idea was about expanding the role out of personnel. That's what I know. I don't know about a failure. I don't know about a failure. So I don't know why words are being put into mine or anyone else's mouth.
I absolutely did not tell you it was a failure.
Maybe you didn't use the word failure.
You just make things up.
Ken, did you get the impression in conversations that you've had that this has been a successful...
Legislator Maloney.
Absolutely.
All right. Anybody else with anything new?
Well, I like your characterization of new.
That would be generous if it was 3 o'clock. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Very emphatically opposed.
All right.
Ridiculous.
There's some resolutions there for the special legislative session.
Yeah.
No, we're doing
it. Okay. Resolution 605, ratification of tax.
No, John voted yes.
Motion.
It's all with rubber stamp.
I'll move it to.
Second.
I'll second it.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 606, levy for MPE tour grants. Motion.
Move it.
Second. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 607, levy for MPE water rents.
Move it.
Second.
Discussion.
All in favor? Opposed? 608, approving completed tax rolls and direct communication to agree. Okay. Motion. Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 609, authorized commissioner of finance to meet the transfer of funds and budgetary amendments. Motion.
Moved by Bartel, second by Ron.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye. Or whoever.
So carried. 610, adopt Hills County budget of fiscal commencing January 1.
I'll move it.
Motion.
Second.
Discussion.
Amend. Motion to amend, approve as amended with all the resolutions.
Well, the amendments are going to be made on the floor. They're not being,
All right. I guess you're saying no matter what, it's not going to be adopting it without amendments. I'm sure one amendment is going to pass.
Right. I don't agree with the characterization, so I'll just be a no. If you guys want to be a yes as amended, I'm fine with that.
I'm confused what you're saying.
We haven't amended anything yet.
Right, we haven't amended anything yet.
So we're not approving anything as amended.
Correct.
So we should just...
So
move it as it is, second as it is. We're going to amend it on the...
Because
this it's just showing the lack of utility of this meeting, which I've talked to you about in the past.
Yeah. What I'm suggesting on this, is do we want to wait until next week since we're meeting at 4 to discuss amendments that we haven't even moved on this one?
I'm too tired to even remember. If we don't, we would have to make the amendment on the floor, inevitably, if we don't do it here, correct? Like to add the term as amended. It'd have to happen at some point before we vote as a legislature.
No, it would be as amended because we're amending it on the floor. It's an omnibus measure, so...
Right.
Once it's amended, we're approving it as amended, as a body.
Right. If we adopted the amendments tonight, it would go to the floor with the amendments. It wouldn't be as amended. It would go to the floor with the amendments. We're not adopting the amendments tonight because it's going to the floor.
Right.
For
so
the
then
discussion.
They think it would make that amendment on the floor after all the other amendments.
Why don't we just hold off on it for tonight?
Okay. 611,
adopting
the county capital program for
2020.
Let's hold
off on that too, because then we're going to have the as amended fight again.
Mm-hmm.
612 for and the capital project for Russell County Community College.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
All through discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. Carried. 613, setting a public hearing for local law number 13/2022. Have a motion.
May I ask a question?
Second. So we'll have a discussion.
So my question procedurally about this is, it's very possible that that resolution gets amended on the floor, so then we'd amend this on the floor as well to reflect the amendments on the floor. Yes.
They're all amendments on the floor.
No, but I'm saying this one, 60.
Yeah.
It's very possible it's not going to pass as presented.
We were prepared to do this tonight if that is what happened tonight, so since we didn't.
But if on the floor, the will of the body, I'm saying I don't know what way it's going to go.
It would be then on the spot, yeah.
And then this would be amended.
Yeah, that's what we're asking.
Right, so
just
as amended.
I will until I'm out of here, but.
Are all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Any new business? Not going to have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.